The views and opinions expressed on Lifeguards Off Duty are those of its hosts and guests exclusively. They do not represent any entity, organization, or municipality.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Michael Kaczmar.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Sean.
And this is Lifeguards Off Duty with Dr. Michael Kaczmar, the Jersey Shore number one lifeguard-themed video podcast.
Watch us on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook Live. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever streaming service you prefer.
If you would like to contact us, send an email to drkaczmar@icloud.com. Follow us on Instagram at lg.association.
All right, let's get started.
Let's start the show.
Let's do it.
She said they're gonna lock you up for killing me tonight.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Kaczmar. There I am. I'm on the wrong camera. Anyway, thank you for watching us today. It's March 7th, the year of our Lord, 2023. And this is Lifeguards Off Duty with Dr. Michael Kaczmar. We have Tyler here.
Howdy,
today.
Everybody.
You look cold.
Yeah.
Why do you got your hood on? Like,
yeah, I'm cold as shit. I was just outside coaching in the wind.
Yeah, well, now you're inside. And we have Tyler.
Well, I'm Sean.
Sean, excuse me. And anything to say, Sean? What's new and exciting?
Did you hear about the Brandon Miller case, Kaczmar?
Well, we're gonna go right to that. I mean, you want nothing else?
What do you mean?
Nothing you want to talk about?
That's what we're here to talk about.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk about. Let's go to the whiteboard then. So, is this what we're gonna talk about? Guns and basketball.
Yeah. Guns and basketball.
Is something new?
Is
now?
That a play on love and basketball?
It was actually.
It was.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So, all right. So, give us the intro then. So, we'll get right to it.
Sean's our resident basketball nerd. For anybody that where I am the soccer nerd, Sean is for sure the basketball nerd.
And Kaczmar has catamarans. So,
all right. So go ahead. So
a catamaran.
So talk about Brandon Miller.
So Brandon Miller is a Alabama player. I believe he's a forward. He delivered a firearm to a teammate at 1 a.m. Around 1 a.m. This is all alleged, I also want to say. None of this, this hasn't gone to trial. He delivered a firearm to a teammate, Darius Miles, and it was used to kill a 23-year-old mother in a shootout. Apparently, they were talking at a bar, Miles and the woman. They got angry, and she was shot. I don't know if it's by Darius or one of his friends who was also there in the car. Brandon Miller wasn't charged, suspended, fined, had no repercussions at all for this, and there's a lot of outrage for it. There's actually chants at his games currently, just
really?
lock him up.
Didn't
every time.
The coach even like comment on it?
He defended him. He said,
saying like he's still gonna play or
yeah. There's no rules like that. You can't. He didn't even touch the firearm. Is like his
lawyer's biggest out. Well, first of all, what's
in his car?
What state is this? First of all,
Alabama.
All right, so it's probably a carry state, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
So was it his gun?
It was Darius Miles' gun, the guy who was involved in the
shootout. Okay, so he lent it to somebody,
yeah,
basically.
No, it just happened to have been in his possession.
It wasn't even his gun. The guy who committed
the
murder.
No, I understand. I'm just trying to get a timeline here, a sequence of events. So Mr. Miller, that was his gun, and
Brandon Miller had the gun that was owned by Darius Miles, who may or may not have shot the woman.
Wait. I'm missing something here. So, fill me. Whose gun is it? Who owned the gun? Seriously, who is it?
Both of these people.
But let me make a point to you. If you, I have guns, right?
Yeah, but you don't know whose gun it is.
No, but my point is though, every gun is registered to somebody unless it's an illegal gun.
It was registered to Darius Miles.
Okay.
Who was also on the Alabama basketball team.
Okay. Where did this guy Miller come into play then?
He had the gun.
Why?
That's the big question.
So if it was the other individual's gun, he must have gave it to Mr. Miller at one time.
Or no, but they're on the team. Like they're acquaintances, they're friends.
Okay, but he must have lent him the gun.
Or left it in his car the day before.
Okay, but then he gave it back to him.
That night when it happened.
Okay, well, it's not his gun. And here's the thing, though. What I'm trying to make a point is, if you own a gun, okay, and it's registered in your name, especially in the state of New Jersey, if you lend it to Tyler, and Tyler commits...
Never shot a gun before.
No, but if you lend it to Tyler, the gun, and he uses it in a crime, you're culpable. You'll be arrested also.
Yes.
Okay? And you had nothing to do with it. You didn't even know about it. He said, I'm going to go to the range with it and shoot it. But if you give it to him and he commits a crime, you're liable. Just like if you have a gun in your house and you don't have it locked up and you didn't make efforts for it to be, you know, easily stolen, it gets stolen and it's used in a crime, you could be liable for that.
Here's my question.
Just to tell you what the law is in this state. Now,
how did it even come out that Miller gave this? What's Darius's last name?
Darius Miles.
How did it even come out that Brandon Miller gave Darius Miles the gun back? How did that even come to light?
Investigation, there was a text message from Darius to Brandon Miller saying, I think it was, "Give me my gun," was like one of the text messages.
Okay. Yeah, but if it wasn't his gun to begin, no. If it was his gun to begin with, and the other individual was just holding it.
Yeah, but the stranger,
he has no.
The stranger thing is,
like, unless he knew he was going to use it,
the kid didn't get any punishment for handing someone a gun at 1 a.m. outside.
Well,
that's, of
but
a
it's
bar.
Not his gun. He handed back a gun that he didn't
think
own.
About the situation. Like, he didn't get charged as an accomplice for this at all.
Well, but if he didn't know about the murder or what he was going to do with the gun, in other words, if you own the gun, Sean, and you give it to me, I'm going to go to a rifle a range, and then, you know, 1 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock, whenever you say, "Hey, I want my gun back," I say, "Okay, I'll meet you at the bar. It's in my car. I'll give it to you."
It would be different if it was Miller's gun. If it was Miller's gun, yes, and he gave it,
then he would be in a shitload of trouble.
Yeah,
but it's not
the
his
circumstances
gun.
Of giving someone a gun outside of a bar late at night.
I disagree. I don't see a problem with that.
That you're right in terms of what's happening currently, but you don't think that's a little suspicious in general?
Well, also, if I'm like, you know, just if you left your gun in my car and you texted me at 1 a.m. Someone made this point that we were talking to about this. I would want to get that gun out of my car as soon as possible.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what it, that's another scenario.
Right. Just so you know, I mean, again, where the real problem is always with a gun is who owns it. And because you have a heavy duty responsibility, you buy a gun and that serial number is tagged to your name, you got that basically gun around your neck for the rest of your life.
You know how I think we solve this?
No.
I think.
Get rid of all guns?
No, the exact opposite.
Give everybody a gun.
Everyone gets a gun when they're born, and it also doubles as their social security number, mm-hmm. their social security card. Now,
that's your protection.
So you know what it is? If he knew about that, if he had the gun and they were sharing it, and he gave the gun back to him, and he knew that he was going to use it for a crime or a murder, you know, a crime.
But like
then that's different. He's an accomplice to a
the circumstances
conspiracy.
Can kind of make him an accomplice, or at least like there's been no active attempt to see if he was an accomplice or if there's anything.
Well,
more
I'm very sure they're checking things out.
Like he should absolutely. There's definitely not enough from just based on the text message and the fact that he had the gun in his possession. I'm not a freaking lawyer, but I don't see that as enough evidence to even uphold a suspension. However, at the minimum, he should be involved in this investigation.
Well, I'll give you another thing. Now, let's just say that, okay, it wasn't his gun. If he doesn't have a carrying permit, and here's the thing, in New Jersey, or a lot of states, I'm not 100% sure, but in this state, if you get a carrying permit, you know, concealed carry, it's only for a specific gun and the gun that you own. In other words, if I have a carrying permit and it's for, say, a Sig Sauer, you know, 365, you know, that's the only gun I can have on me. If I have another gun that I own and it's not on that carrying permit, you're breaking the law. And same thing is if he had the gun, this other guy who's, you know, it's not his gun, and if he didn't have a gun permit to carry, and I don't know what the laws in Alabama, some states you don't need a permit at all, but I'm just saying is he may have been carrying that gun just from a legal standpoint too, so he could get jammed up.
Yeah.
If you were walking, like now in New Jersey, you don't have a gun permit, you don't have a license to carry. If you went to a bar and even it's your gun and you brought it there and gave it to somebody, you're in big trouble, because you can't even have it, you know. Or it wasn't your gun, it was his gun, but you still carried it there. You can't carry a gun in New Jersey. You know?
I do feel like the Alabama laws have got to be different than New Jersey though.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, I think so. So anyway, that's a tough one, but I would say that I don't think he has too much, you know, if he didn't know, if it wasn't his gun.
More into the Brandon Miller part of this in a second. But then there's also the NBA, Ja Morant, who is a point guard for the Memphis Grizzlies. flashed a gun in a club on Instagram Live. So he posted the video actively on Instagram. He just held it up to his face and just like to show it off that he had it.
What state is this now, Sean?
I believe this happened in Colorado, which is an open carry state.
Yeah, even if it is.
But you can't be drinking with a gun. But like, this isn't just his first time dealing with guns. He also was training a 17-year-old high school athlete and threatened, or may have, this is all alleged also, may have threatened him with a gun for, I think, just a dispute on the court while they were just playing.
Does he wear his gun when he's playing?
And he was this kid's coach?
He was a young high school prospect just playing with major talent. Like, it's a common thing.
Okay.
He also was in an altercation where him or his group, his friends, acquaintances, pointed a laser light at a Indiana Pacers employee, which they like got into like not a fight on the court, but just like a heated game. And later that night, may or may not have pointed a gun at a worker for this team,
the Pacers,
yeah.
So.
So he's now currently suspended two games, Ja Morant, from the NBA by his team, the Memphis Grizzlies. And currently there's a police investigation on him right now.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this. First of all, you know, if you do have a carry permit and you have a gun.
He does.
You cannot, if you're drinking, you should not have the gun on board. That's a violation.
That's the tricky part, though. He wasn't actively drinking in the video. So they don't know if they can prove it because it wasn't a police report that night.
But that's okay. But here's the other thing is, in a lot of states, you can't take that gun out unless you're going to be using it. In other words, I can't even say to you, back off. I got a gun in my pocket. You're threatening with a gun. That could be you could be charged with assault. Mm-hmm. Definitely taking it out and waving it around
in a private business.
Well, you know what? I tell you what. If you're in a bar, you're not drinking, and you go into a room, you unload it. It's safe. You want to show somebody. I don't know if that's really a problem. You know, I mean, if you're being a jackass, I think I'd have to say, is it smart? No. I mean, taking a gun out, especially if it's loaded, is dangerous. You could shoot somebody. And, when you have a gun, one of the things that is a safety feature of that gun is that gun in the holster. Okay. So in other words, you know, that trigger, let's just say you have one in the chamber. We talk about a gun, you know, so it's basically loaded, you know, it's a loaded gun and it may have a safety or not. Well, the reason why that gun is pretty safe, you could have it on your carry, is because you put it in a hard plastic case. So it's a holster. And that holster, you can't touch the trigger, and it's very safe. Once you take that gun out of the holster, you know, that trigger, if it touches anything or anybody touches it, you hand it to somebody, and they don't know how to deal with a gun, and they pull the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, how many bang. People have accidentally shot themselves in the leg with stuffing guns in their pants? Right.
Now, if you took the gun out with inside the holster, you know, wanted to show somebody. I mean, I wouldn't do that at all. I wouldn't show anybody. I don't think that's smart. But, I mean, if you're going to show somebody, you got to take the gun out. You got to unload it, take the magazine out, get the shit, you know, out, and then have the gun opened up, you know, so everybody could see it. But that's just a bad idea. I would justify anybody waving a gun around. He's probably going to get, I mean, you know.
I don't know if he'll get an actual police charge.
Depends on the state and the laws. You know, like Florida, I think you have a law where you could stand your own ground. So, like, say five guys come up to me, if they haven't even no weapons, then they say, we're going to kick your ass, we're going to do this. I might be able to.
Yeah, but he wasn't threatening anybody. He was just showing the gun off. On Instagram.
Right.
And he may or may not have been drunk, and he has a carry law, and he wasn't threatening anybody.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's at the best, it's stupid.
Yeah.
And reckless. And it could, you know, you could get in. I mean, you could have endangered people if that gun shot off and killed somebody, you know. So I don't think it's something he should be doing or anybody should be doing.
I think the delayed NBA response is just seeing what happens with the police investigation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. seeing like what mm-hmm. how they should react to it. Because if nothing comes out of this, like from a legal standpoint, he's a very young and exciting player, and the NBA playoffs are around the corner.
Well,
and that's where all the money is made in the NBA team, and he's basically an employee for this organization.
How old is he?
23.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, he made a mistake. To me, did he do anything criminal? It doesn't sound like it unless, I mean,
it's proven that he was drinking or on drugs.
Well, if you take a gun out and threaten somebody with it, that's bad.
That was alleged, and it was weeks ago. Like, yeah. He clearly has a history with this, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Right. The other things that you talked about are different scenarios. You know, if you threaten somebody with a gun and it's not indicated. I'll give you a good example. Here's one. Let's just say you have a gun in your house, right? And some people put lights on in the front of their guns, right? And say you wake up and there's somebody in your house, right? Now, say that, you know, this place here, you guys have access to the code and everything. I'm sleeping here. I wake up. I take my gun out, which I wouldn't never do, you know. And there's a light on it, right? So I'm, looking around. I shine the gun at you with the light. Well, I'm pointing a gun at you. And now, you're not a threat. And I'm like, oh, it's you, That you could go and call the police and say, I pointed a loaded gun at you, or even if it's not loaded.
Then we own the podcast studio.
right. But my point is, you have to be very careful with all of this because, the thing is, I could take a chair right now and beat you to death with a chair. And I would get, I won't get as same conviction probably as if I shoot you with a gun. So, when a gun gets involved, it's a whole different animal. And so you have to be very careful. It's an awesome responsibility to own a gun and carry a gun. And you, if you're not responsible, I just think that, that he was irresponsible. If he's threatening people, that gun needs to be taken away from him until he goes through classes and understands the ramifications and the seriousness of what he's doing.
Yeah, in the past, there was a player called Gilbert Arenas who brought a gun into, I think, the locker room. Mm-hmm. And he got a 50-game suspension from the NBA.
Whoa, 50.
Yeah, Woo. So that was basically the whole season.
That's the whole season. That's a lot of money,
too. They play like 80?
80 games. and it might have only been 50 because that was what was left in the season.
Yeah. When was that? How long ago was that?
It was like 2009. It was 2010s, around that area.
Remember back when they made a big deal about the dress code for like players AI. On the sideline? Yeah. That was the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah. Well, right now, gun violence is certainly in the news, in the politics, and, I didn't want to talk about it on this show, but, they came out with a statistic that the biggest killer of children now are guns, but really, if you look at that statistics, it's the crime, it's the inner city stuff, and it's not
kids like playing with unlocked guns.
No. Most actually, 60% of all gun deaths are suicides on a general population. Mm-hmm. If you look at the children, and you can go to CDC, it's a lot of black on black inner city. It's terrible, and it's been going on for years and years and years.
And by children, I wonder if like that means like 16, 17 years
18,
old.
Yeah, no, yeah. Any 18 and under, and a lot of it is. I think there's statistics. I wasn't prepared for this, but like 18, it's a lot of inner city black on black. It's a tragedy. It's terrible, and but a lot of these guns are illegal to begin with. A lot of them are not. They can't have guns at their age. You can't own a gun under 18. Most states. I mean, some states maybe you could be 16 and have a permit. But my point is that so that's a big argument right now. It was just a big thing. John Stewart interviewed somebody, and then there's people rebuttaling it. But my point is, guns are very dangerous. It's not the guns. I mean, it's the people. But we have a very right now. Our society is reaching the level of the '80s with regard to gun violence, suicides, drug overdoses. So it's. I think that's one of the reasons why probably this is really brought out. It's just somebody being reckless.
Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but I mean, if you go look at the statistics, how drug overdoses and deaths by guns back in the '80s, it was not just guns; it was explosives. There was a lot of people blowing up stuff. There was a lot of terrorist bombs. People were communist, cells and this and that. And New York City back in those days, there was 2,000 murders a year. It's not to that point, but it's getting there. We're reaching the same levels of '80s. I don't know why. There's a lot of the TV went wacky. There's a lot of. I'm going to shut that off. Okay. Yeah. Is our sound okay? Did you check the sound?
Yeah, that's not. That's on the TV. Okay, that's on the computer.
No, but when you have the computer on, sometimes the sound. I think that I did a show on that with scrubbing up, and I contrasted to what we have today. Believe it or not, like New York City, they at the height. When Giuliani came in, it was like 2,000 murders a year. I don't think it's up to that. It might be getting up there, maybe 800-900. I know Chicago's bad, but why is there, is there more access to guns? We're just a right now, I think it's our morality. You know, we it's have
a,
so it's many
tumultuous time right now.
Right, we have 110 drug overdoses a year.
That's it.
It used to be, it was maybe 30, 40.
110 million or 1,000?
No. Per year, it's been going up. This year, it's about 110,000. The fentanyl is a big part of that problem. A lot of people are dying with fentanyl. And they say it poisoning. I don't know if a lot of these people, even you know, they do cocaine, which you know normally don't kill you unless you get a fib from it and you get a stroke.
Well, fentanyl. But, some people are just straight up fentanyl. Doing fentanyl now.
Yeah.
Like some people are addicted to fentanyl. Does fentanyl get you high? It's their drug.
I guess so, right?
It's
heroin, but all you need is like a grain of, less than a grain of salt.
Yeah, I actually saw a picture where it was like how much cocaine can kill you, how much heroin can kill you, and how much fentanyl can kill you. It's like dust.
It's scary.
It's like it's
yeah, it's a synthetic opioid. It's made in China mostly, and people mix it. People have been mixing drugs all the time. I give you a good example. You know, we talk about it was in the news, and it was a very famous individual who died, George Floyd. Mm-hmm. He was high on what's called a goofball, and it was a fentanyl. So it's funny. It's fentanyl mixed with crystal meth. Mm. And, you know, but now there's a big one going across the country.
That must be why he died.
No. Oh. I have nothing. I'm not going to get into that. But I'm just saying is that, you know, I'm just saying a famous person that was his drug of choice. You know, Michael Jackson died from a propofol, which is a anesthetic.
They say that was his doctor, though.
He forced him to take it.
Well, no, he.
Oh, he messed up on the dose.
There was a lot of things. He had like crazy insomnia. And okay. I think.
All right.
He was in a lot of pain from all the years of dancing, and his doctor was just over prescribing him these sleeping pills that eventually
wasn't sleeping pills. He was taking IV. It was also sleeping pills.
It was just to knock him out to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. I think it was also just to stay on his to stay being paid by Michael Jackson, just so he could like still take in that money.
Listen. He was addicted. He was a drug addict. He was, for sure.
Michael
Jackson was addicted. Whether or not,
but you when know, you have a doctor behind the scenes well, writing the script right, right. for it, that's a bit irresponsible.
The doctor was enabling him, but you know, ultimately, he's a grown man who makes his own decisions. And he made the decision to take the narcotics. So.
Would you keep writing me a script for narcotics?
No, I wouldn't. But you could get it illegally. So, you know, you could go down that same road. So if it wasn't legal, it would have been illegal, you know. But my point is...
I think something similar happened with Prince.
What do we have to do to our ankles to get a medical marijuana card?
Nothing. You could probably get it. You could just go to your primary doctor, tell him you're stressed out, and they'll give it to you. but you want
to be my primary doctor?
Let me cycle back to the, with the, you know, the deaths and everything. I just want to... Because you made a point. The... 110,000 is ridiculous amount, and it's going higher and higher. And the amount of suicides is growing, especially in the age between 18 and 10. You have 10, 12, 13-year-old kids offing themselves. So we have a major problem in this country. I don't even want to get into it. It would take, you know, long, long time. And I'm not sure I have the answers, but we're moral decay right now. But anyway,
one cool thing I think about the Ja Morant situation, like he clearly had this history with guns and potential gun violence, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we like to talk about how awful social media is in a lot of ways, but in some ways this situation saved him because he was clearly going down a bad path and then made a mistake that wasn't too awful just by like flaunting the gun, and
right.
now all eyes are on him. What's up with you? Why'd you do that?
Right, right, right.
So this is like a good instance where right. social media
right.
may positively affect some.
I have a mistake that I won't talk about on this podcast that affected my life in a similar way. You know about it.
Oh, I know about it.
My origin story for lifeguarding.
Yeah, well, it's good. It's good sometimes. Yeah. Listen, all I know is this. You know, he's famous, and maybe this will tell other people. But, you know, I think the big takeaway here is that, you know, guns are an awesome responsibility. I'm a firm believer in the Second Amendment. I think we should be allowed to, you know, if you want to own a gun. But you also need to be very responsible. And if you're going to be irresponsible, then, you know, I think the gun should be at least temporarily taken away from him until he's cleared and you know, mentally stable. He needs, you know, somebody needs to talk to him. And you can't be waving a gun around. You can't be pulling it out. You know, that's just not appropriate. And
I got into an interesting conversation last night with Faye. His former lifeguard, who's also my roommate.
I think he was on the show.
Yeah, he was. We were watching a George Washington documentary and just talking about how awesome, you know, this historical figure is. And we were just kind of like trying to do a thought experiment about how he would feel about like the gun situation in this country right now. Like, it was the same George Washington, but he also had a deep understanding of the cultural climate today. And I think that...
Oh, he's written... No, you can go look at his writings about it. He said about it. He said a lot of things about guns and owning them.
No, I understand. I know that. I'm saying, like, in today's day and age, if he would still see it the same way.
Absolutely, because human nature has not changed. That's where you guys get mixed up. Nothing's changed other than our technology. You know, we know a little bit more about... Do we really know more about the universe? We still don't know how it all came about.
We don't know. But there's stuff flying around the sky that we can't explain.
In George Washington days, there was corruption, there was greed, there was lust, there was hate, murder, you know, corruption, goes drugs. On and on. You know, if you look at George Washington's readings, and especially about a gun, he basically said, you know, to have a society without guns, you're lost. You know, that's one way. You got to remember, their mindset, which we should probably refresh ourselves with, is that they were fighting a tyrannical government. They were fighting a globalist, you know, the British government was a globalist entity. They basically ran the whole world. Okay, think about it. And we reeled against them. You know, this country went against them. And, you know, one way to do that is, you know, George Washington and the founding fathers realized, you know, if you have guns and you have the ability to fight the oppressors, then, you know, then you can. So here's
what my question was, though. Would he have seen it as necessary for a modern American for every modern American to need to own a gun as it was back then? Because forget the tyrannical government. That's all true, right? Part of the Second Amendment is the right to form a militia, correct?
Yeah, I'm listening.
However, there were also a whole host of other reasons why you probably should have had it. You back then, you probably shouldn't have even walked out of your house without a gun because, like, a bear or a mountain lion might come just jack you out of nowhere. You know, like, there were a lot of different things that would cause people to have guns. So I'm just wondering if he would be down with some of the regulations we have today, some of the checks and balances that go along with getting a gun.
That's a good question. See, that's a different. I think that, you know,
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the necessity for a gun,
yeah,
it has changed a little bit since then.
Well, I think that I would put it this way. And, you know, you could read the Federalist Papers, and they kind of give you an idea why these guys, they discussed all this stuff, you know. And, you know, there was a lot of discussion about letting black people have guns. They didn't want them to have guns, you know, because they were scared. So there's that aspect of it. But, you know, different people in the world, like Mao, you know, Tussie Mao, who you know, took over China and the communist leader, he talked about power derived from the barrel of a gun. I would say this. I would say that, you know, Second Amendment is a Second Amendment. If you believe in God and you believe or whatever, we all have the God-given right to protect ourselves for life, liberty, and pursuit of property, or and the Second Amendment to own and bear arms for two reasons. Like you know, we all say one is to protect ourselves from other people, but also from a government that, you know, tries to overthrow you. I mean, you can make a lot of scenarios. You okay? Did we lose everything?
No, we're good.
You know, so my thing is to answer your question. I think he would be probably a little bit upset about you know, some of the states that are trashing the Second Amendment. You know, now you talk to people in Tennessee, you could walk around with a gun. You know, I don't even think you need a permit. In New Jersey, you can't carry a gun, really.
I think there will be things that upset George Washington more than the, you know, ability to own a gun or how easy it is.
Here's the thing.
There's a lot going on right now.
We were citizens. Back then, we were citizens, and the individual person was sovereign. If you want to look at the, you know, 30,000 feet above and look down, I think George Washington would be upset that we're losing our rights in this country, and in the West for sure.
I just think he'd be generally disgusted with how we've been behaving over the past couple decades.
If you like the Washington documentary, you got to watch the John Adams HBO one. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's fire.
Yeah, who's the guy that wrote that, McCullough?
Yeah, Dr. McCullough.
He wrote the book, and he's already a great historian.
Dr. Peter McCullough of the Joe Rogan Experience?
No, that he's has to do with the coronavirus. No, this is Dr. McCullough. He's written multiple books. I tell you his books if you really want to look into them. One's really good. He did the East West Passage, which is about the Panama Canal. Mm-hmm. He did a great book on Truman, which is an amazing individual, and also Grant. But the
John Adams HBO special was incredible.
John Adams, the fight that John Adams had with Thomas Jefferson was historic.
But it was.
They were brutal against each other for a while.
There was a respect that they had.
Yeah, they became friends, you know, towards the end. I think that, the United States is an interesting place. It's an experiment. And it's the only place in the world, really, that you are a citizen. You know, the idea that you're a citizen. And the word citizen has a lot of, you're not a subject, you're not a disciple, you're not a resident, you know, you're a subject, you know, it goes on. You're a citizen. You're supposed to, and the way the whole idea was, is that you, the sovereign, when I mean sovereign, I mean power. The power of the government and your life is in your hands, and you lend it to the government, and the government's supposed to be working for us. Now, that's not the case anymore. You know, I mean, there's things going on every day. We look in the news, and there's crazy shit. One's lying, this one.
You guys ever see these conspiracy theories about when you're born, your name isn't your name. You are literally, if I were to put my entire life savings on, I'd say this is not the case.
Yeah, we're putting the tinfoil hats on.
Yeah, right, but we're going to put the tinfoil hats on for a second. When you're born, you're given your social security number, and that's your name. Your legal name means nothing, and they take out an insurance policy against you, and then when you die, they claim it.
The government?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't need. But here's what I do know. You know what? Think about
pretty
this.
Pretty wild, right? Imagine that was true.
Think about this. You know, we had this government, and, you know, it has been corruption. We just watched this Murdoch trial?
Murdoch.
Yeah. And, I mean, this guy, his family goes back.
Murder dog.
This guy goes back 100 years, and he was corrupt as all. The whole family was corrupt. They were the law. And you think that's only the one place in South Carolina that happened? Happens probably all over the place. You know, there's corruption. Got to remember, you have Adam and Eve, right? They bit the apple. That was the first thing. You know what the second thing was? They had kids. And you know what their kids, Cain and Abel, you know what they did?
Didn't they kill each other?
Yeah, but one brother killed the other brother. So
did Cain kill Abel?
I know, that's a good question.
I think Cain killed Abel.
Hey, you are the theology expert in this room.
So my point is that I think the founding fathers, they worried about this thing, this experiment working. And even John Adams said, hey, you know, if you could keep it, you know, we don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic, which is a whole different thing.
Do you think they knew that it would eventually go bad?
They thought. Reagan even said, Reagan said, you could lose your liberties in one generation. You got to remember, everybody uses this word democracy. You know, you can look it up. Really, what you want to have, and we could lose, is our liberty. Remember, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or pursuit of property.
And they spelled happiness weird.
The 14th, that was the Declaration of Independence. But the 14th Amendment.
Language arts, bro.
But the 14th Amendment says no state should infringe on your life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty is the key. And that's the word that you really should look at. And liberty means you should be able to do what you want to do, okay, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else.
The French gave us a statue dedicated
to it. Democracy, you know, kind of has this thing where 51% of the people vote on something, and that's what should be the flower of the day, you know. And that doesn't work. They did that in Rome.
That just...
You can't have 51%.
In theory, is flawed.
Yes, it doesn't work out. That's mob rule then, you know. And we don't have that. That's why we give the... you have states, and then you have the three branches of government, and there's all kinds of things going on. I think that this country right now is the administrative state. This happened in Rome, happened in China. You get this administrative state that, you know, the workings, and they run everything, and they're non-elective individuals, and they could sometimes go off the rail, and I think that's what's happening now. Can we fix it? I don't know. And what I tell you don't want, I'll change the subject. You don't want to have the Chinese model, which is no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion, no freedom from fear, which means, you know, that's how they control you. And what they'll give you, though, is a bowl of slop, you know, a place to live, basically institutionalized slavery, which about a billion people in China, that's what they live under. You know, there are certain people there that are very wealthy and they do very well, but maybe 300-400 million.
Isn't it a bit ironic that literally in the months and weeks leading up to the outbreak of the coronavirus, there were like 10 million people in the streets of Hong Kong, like protesting the government.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's a global pandemic. And I've not seen one news report about those riots or what those people were.
No, they're all dead. What happened is, too, is that they passed laws.
They killed 10 million people?
No, but what they did is they arrested tons of them and they put them in jails. And what they did is they passed a law in Hong Kong that if you get locked up, you'll be taken to mainland and prosecuted and tried there. So all of those people, they're shut down. You can't own a gun. There's no free speech. In China, you can't practice religion until you're 18. You can't teach your kids that. And at 18, the only religion that you're allowed is whatever the state says is a good religion. They actually have the Catholic Church, you know, whatever. But it's monitored, and you can only do a certain mm-hmm. amount. So we're heading towards that model. And I'll tell you what, I'll make another point about the guns and everything. One of the reasons I think that the Japanese were very concerned about invading the United States is because they knew we had a lot of guns. You know, you think about it. If it ever goes bad where we have World War III, and say China and Russia or whatever, say China tries to invade us.
And the nukes don't work.
I'll tell you what.
There's going to be a lot of good old boys down in the swamps of South Kentucky, you know, South Carolina, Alabama, and you ain't going to get them out. You can knock as much nukes as you want there.
we're going to be the Viet Cong. Because you've been throwing this term around World War III for a couple months now.
Yeah.
And
a year.
I've kind of been brushing it off. Mm-hmm. But things seem a lot more serious than I thought they were. Mm-hmm. I'll concede that point.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm still not going. I
was still in school when all this happened, and literally, like, this may have happened in the second month, third month of school. Putin invaded Ukraine.
Jeez. I thought you were talking about high school.
No. My teacher swore that there would never be another war. Like that it was all just propaganda and like that there would never be another bullet shot for like another major bullet between like a bigger country.
What is she talking? There was probably a bomb being dropped on somebody as she was saying that.
I was not a big fan of her anyway, but she looked so stupid when we had to talk about Putin every day.
Liberal arts professors, man. Yeah.
Well, World War I was the war to end all wars, okay?
That didn't work.
And people couldn't believe when World War II started. The other thing is, my uncles fought in World War II, and one of them stayed in the military. Because he thought, he could get money. It was the reserves, you know. And he's sitting there, and I remember him telling me a story. He's like, there's no way I'm ever going to, you know, it's not going to be another war. We just finished. It was 1946, you know. 45, 46 was the end of the war. And, you know, so he was in reserve. Next thing he knows, 1951, you know where he was at? Korea. And I don't know if you know, but the North Korean and the Chinese took the whole country. We invaded on the bottom with MacArthur. We invaded. It was like the third biggest invasion. You had three invasions that were big. You had Normandy, right, D-Day. You had Korea. We hit the peninsula. And we drove them all the way up to the Chinese border. And then about a million Chinese came down, and we fought them all the way down. It was a fighting retreat down to the 45th parallel where we are today. And, you know, just so you know, North Korea has 1,500 soldiers. But let me ask you this. Where was the third biggest—
And none of their guns work, probably.
No, they work, all right. Trust me. Where was the third biggest invasion? It was in World War II. D-Day. Before D-Day, it was another
invasion. Hitler invading Russia.
No.
Really?
No. I'm talking about a water and land. Where we you know, water, boat, ships and everything, and it was water to land invasion.
It Okinawa. Sounds like you want to trick us.
No.
Is it like Africa?
Close.
Egypt.
Close.
Where?
Italy.
Okay. That wasn't that close.
So this is before we had Normandy, we went into what do you call it? Italy. I forget where. And we were battling.
I think Band of Brothers took place in, or some of it took place
yeah,
in Italy.
Yeah, yeah. So
sick show.
It was bad. It was bad. And then we got bogged down, and we didn't go too far. And also we were hitting, you know, Africa and with Rommel and all of that, you know. Mm-hmm. But then D-Day came. But let's just, you know, get back with our country. Think about this, right? We had the Civil War, right? I'm going to make a point about, you know, guerrilla warfare and you know, United States.
Guerrilla, just quick callback to earlier conversation.
We started
George
that.
Washington invented that
right,
shit.
Right. So here's the thing. Think about this. So you had the Civil War. The Union and the South, but the Union was sharp fighting machine. The best equipment in the world. We had artillery, shells that blew up, you know, repeating rifle, all the top stuff, right? So after we finished the Civil War, the Army, Custer was one of them, you know, and a bunch of other generals, and they went and started focusing on the Indian. Yeah. They called it the Indian problem, and they wanted to eradicate the Indians. Get them, you know, because they were killing people and everything because they were being killed. There was one guy they went after, Geronimo. You ever heard of Geronimo?
Remember Geronimo? I know that the term Geronimo is like I'm just running headfirst into danger.
So this guy was an Indian. I forget what tribe he belonged to, but they tried to get him. He was up in the mountains, Black Hills, whatever. The whole Union Army could not catch him. And they tried. I don't know how long. The only way they got him out is that he surrendered because they, you know, said, okay, we're going to give you this land or whatever, you know. And I think after they screwed him, he freaking went back in there. Mm-hmm. They couldn't catch his ass. So my point is that same thing with Afghanistan. You know, we were the biggest country in the world. They were in those hills and those mountains. We couldn't get them out, you know. I mean, you could use all the nuclear weapons you want. I mean, you know, then the land is not worth anything. So my point is that all the guns we have and, we'd be a menace. It would be tough, you know. I mean, hopefully you don't have to. Nuclear weapons is another whole thing. That could ruin the whole world. I mean, there'd be nobody live. And if you want to see what happens, you know, there's a great movie called On the Beach. And it's a movie where there's a submarine and it's down in Australia. And it's the last people on Earth that are still alive because the radiation is just spreading all around the world. And they were talking about how it happened and everything. You know, we can't end the world. I think what's going to happen here when we talk about World War II, I think this war in Ukraine can metastasize and get worse. And if we put troops in and start going more, probably China's going to get involved. And now you got a big conflict. And then if China invades Taiwan, I mean, you know, you could have World War III. I don't think you could have nuclear weapons right off the bat. You know, it's going to be a lot of fighting. And then millions and millions of, you know, soldiers could die. It can get to the point where you have nuclear if it gets sticky, you know. But we should be talking about peace. I agree with, you know, one thing your teacher said. We should not have any more of this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
And it's crazy that, like, it's played like a chess game. You know what I mean? Like, with, like, the leaders of this world, like, they remove emotion from these decisions that they make that, like, affect millions of lives.
Okay, I'll give you, you know, you heard about the pipeline. You know, Nord Stream 2. Now they just came out, you know, the mainstream media, and they said that, well, it wasn't the Russians who blew it up. It was Ukrainian, I don't know, sympathizers or some shit. So, again, you know,
like Russian sympathizers from the
Ukraine. No, Ukraine did it. No, Russia's not going to blow up their pipeline. And this hurt Germany. So the point is that the accusations that the United States did it. My point is that, you know, there's so much shit going on. And, you know, I guess they know what they're doing. But, you know, I mean, did they know? What about where was the weapons of mass destruction with Iran? You know, I was the Vietnam days, you know. And, I mean, I watched my uncle's friends get killed. And, you know, Westmoreland, who was the general, saying everything's fine. And then they had this huge tent offensive. And then we realized it wasn't fine. And we had to get out of there. Afghanistan, we got out of there. I mean, North Korea, that was a stalemate. You know, so, I mean, my point is that it doesn't, these things never solve anything. You've spent a lot of money, and a lot of people become very wealthy. A lot of young kids die. For what? You know, we should be not doing this anymore. So,
it's like the most obvious fix. It's like, let's just talk about this stuff.
My father fought in World War II. My uncles fought in the Korean War. You know, they all hated Vietnam War because they were like, listen, war sucks, man. War sucks. You know, people die.
An actual living hell.
Right. And I see our politicians championing this thing. You know, let's give them more money. Let's give them. I hear nobody talking about, and on any side, you know, so I don't know.
And how hard is it for someone to just like say, hey guys, like I know there's a lot of like socio-political like ramifications to this situation that's going on, but not one leader is going to come out and say this is stupid.
Right.
This is really stupid that we're still acting like this.
And I don't know anything about. I mean, I'm just a little, you know, foot and ankle surgeon. But here's my thing: what do we care about? I mean, I know that, you know, they've been fighting for years and years, but we have nothing there. We have our own oil, our own gas. We don't need anybody. I know you don't want to be isolationist, but the other side of the coin is that, I mean, you know, I don't even know what they're fighting about. But to get to the point where we push World War III is crazy, and we shouldn't be. and we should be negotiating a peace and trying to work it out. And this is, you know, the Vietnam War was the same thing. Remember all those peace? You go back and look at this stuff. You want to talk about riots. And like I said, the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of violence and a lot of drug, but there was also a lot of violence because they were, every day there was protesting in front of the White House. You know, and Johnson, he just couldn't take it anymore. He bailed because he couldn't do anything with the Vietnam War. So you don't want to have that, trust me. And you guys are thinking about World War III now. Everybody's getting scared. So
I try not to.
I just got a text from Jack.
He said what? He goes, what does he say?
He goes, bro, every time I tune in, it's Catchmar talking about World War III or Liberty.
Tell Jack, sign up now, man. Get ahead of the curve. Sign up now and get through boot camp because, you know, they bring back the draft. I have people, I start laughing. I go, wait, man, I was around when they were drafting people, you know, and people were scared, you know. Actually, you know, it could happen again. Listen, you know, I don't know the world. It's very complicated, but... you know, the founding fathers, the initial question you asked about George Washington, what would he think? I think George Washington would be saying, you guys are foolish, man. You're throwing away something that we fought for. A lot of people died. Think about, I took Ava to Arlington National Cemetery. Anybody of you guys been there? No. Washington, D.C.?
I might have. I was really young when I went to D.C.
You showed us the footage.
You should go there. I can tell you right now, there's 400,000 people buried there. And that's only one place in the world. Every one of those people there, for the most part, gave their lives for our freedom. They died, man. And if you look at the Vietnam War...
The wall's pretty weird to look at.
They're young. They're 18, 19, 20. I mean, you know, and the Korean War, you know, the Vietnam War, World War I, World War II, and it goes on and on. And you know, we have something very special nowhere else in the world. I mean, there are places that are not bad, but you still have this idea here, and we should not throw it away so easily. And we should really be, you know, talking about peace. And I think, you know, your teacher said something. We should not have any more wars or guns or any of that. It's crazy.
But also very naive of her to make that statement.
Oh, my God.
As someone with authority over...
I knew she was wrong when she was saying it, but, yeah, when that war actually started, I was like, who, like, what are you doing, girl?
Yeah, there's never going to be another war. Like, there's been a war going on for, like, how many years have, like, Palestine and Israel been fighting?
Well, remember what Einstein said.
I think when we backed out of Syria, that was the only time there hasn't been a war in our whole lives, me and you, that there hasn't been a conflict the United States was involved in.
Who was the president then?
Biden.
And then, no.
When we backed out of Syria?
No, not Biden. Biden's only been president 2 years.
Syria.
What do you call it? Barack Obama was Syria.
He started
then,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Right? But then Trump. I'm saying
when we backed out of it.
Trump, oh, you're talking about Afghanistan.
When we took all the soldiers out.
No, we didn't. We left first. 13 died, and there's still Americans there. We left something like $85 billion worth of equipment there.
Did you hear that they're upset that they have to have real jobs, the Taliban? Like, that's like their complaint now. Yeah, they don't like traffic. Yeah. Listen, they'd rather go back to war. They don't like traffic, they don't like office jobs.
That's an example of, like, we impose our Western vision on the entire world. Some people don't want that.
No.
Some people don't want to get in the F-150 and drive 20 minutes to work.
This is more like they don't like the responsibilities of, like, daily life compared to surviving and eating and worrying about food.
But not everybody wants to live the way we live.
So when we had the Iraq war, you know, and you had, I remember George Bush, they were talking about, you know, bringing democracy there. And you make a good point. Those days, that's just a stupid thing to think. I mean, I think that's a, you know, it was a nice idea. Just like we thought that China, we would help them out, you know, give them all this money, give them this aid, and they'll go for democracy. Well, they didn't. They're not doing it. And listen, I believe that there are very evil people. Putin's no walk in the park. Either is China. And we could wind up, you know, sometimes if, like, people say, well, Hitler, if we stopped him in the beginning, things would have been, you know, a lot better. We should have never let Hitler get that bad. You know, after Hitler took over Europe, he was looking to make peace, you know, but England didn't want to go from that because they didn't go for that because I think they realized that Hitler, you know, was a paper, you know, he wasn't going to be, just satisfied. And they were working on the atom bomb and all of that. So there are bad actors out there. And I think there's people in our government think that, you know, they have to do this. But I don't know if you're going to be able, we have to have a discussion. How much do you guys want to do to overthrow, you know, Russia? Do you want to have a big war where we have hundreds of thousands of our kids die, maybe millions? Is it worth it?
I don't think we have the option.
Well, that's a good point. Do we? No, we're just, you know, if they want, if the government wants us, we're done, you know, yeah. But that shouldn't be. We should have an option. We should be able to vote. You know, now you got Trump. He's sitting here and everybody's like, oh, we hate him. He's a, you know, piece of shit and all this. But in the meantime, he's the only guy here saying, I'll get you out of Ukraine in 24 hours. Whether or not he could do it or not.
Or we'll do it.
What's that?
Or we'll do it.
What do you mean we'll do it?
What, I mean, like, people say a lot of things before they get in office.
Well, I can tell you what. Everything that Trump said he did, well, if he could do. Yeah, well,
I don't know about everything.
Well, he tried.
He didn't build that wall.
He tried, but he was. They went after him big time.
That was his main running point.
You know,
main chant. Build but that wall.
He built a lot of it, though. He built a lot of it. I mean, here's my point. You know, I guess what I'm saying is that he's the only one. Everybody else is talking about, let's continue on. You know, so we have a lot of people who have a lot of different ideas. All I'm saying is that we're going to pay the price, and it's going to be the young people in this country who are going to go to war. And if you want to do that, that's fine. But you should understand, you know, what you're getting into. And, if people who you vote for is going to make a big difference this next time. You know?
Oh, remember I was saying, I gotta get going.
Okay, but, well, let's end it. So, yeah.
Hold on. I think I was saying how, like, I don't even know if I'm signed up for the draft. I was at my mom's house today getting the paperwork to get my passport because I'm going to Italy in October. Woo!
Nice.
Hopefully Europe's not broken out into war by then.
True.
You might be going to Italy, but not on a vacation.
Not with my girlfriend.
You might be going on a crew, on a troop ship.
I think you'd be happy to know that I am indeed signed up for the draft.
Well, everybody has to.
Yeah, I thought you were.
Everybody has to be. I actually have a draft.
I got
to
run, though.
All right, you want to close down, or you want to let
this has been the ideal lifeguard stand conversation, gentlemen.
Listen, it's been good.
A lot of fun.
You want to shout us out before you go?
Are we ending right now?
Yeah, let's end it. We're good. It's getting late. Right. So listen, it's been a great show.
Lifeguards Off Duty. We love all you listeners.
And
like and subscribe. Turn on notifications.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
And stay out.
And stay alive.
Great show today, guys. Good.